The title of the message for today, if you could just look up here. Yeah, there's no reason to look down. Great was the fall of it. The great was the fall of it. And this is the final message of Sermon on the Mount that we've been going through for the last 8 months. For those of you who are joining today, you caught the tail end, which is great because... this is Christianity. This is the gospel. I don't know what your perception of Christianity and the gospel is, because Scripture speaks about it. Jesus speaks about it. And the final sentence of his sermon is the greatest of all. How would you feel if you hear that? Your life will fall, crash. And it's going to be great. It either sounds like a serious curse or a stern warning, doesn't it? It does, right? And who's saying this? Who dare to say something like that to a person? You're gonna fall. Your whole life will crash. Who dare to say something like this? And believe it or not, it is the lover of your soul. Lover of your soul. Do you have one? Does anybody love your soul? Okay. This is the lover, capital L, of your soul, who loved me and gave himself for me. And there is no one like him. No religion could claim that. No religion could claim anything close to that. He loves me and he gave himself for me. And the question is why? Why is he saying this? Because you are on the way to destruction. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. Okay, it's not something that makes you feel good. It's not something that makes you just help your marriage a little bit more. It's nothing like that. You're all on your way to destruction. Destruction. Okay, today we come to the conclusion or the... closure of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' first sermon and greatest sermon. Look up here, it's okay. Yeah. Greatest sermon ever preached, not delivery-wise, but content-wise. You understand that? We're going to see it at the end. You know, he preached with one with the authority. And I'm going to have another epilogue of Sermon on the Mount next week, Lord willing. And it says he spoke like the one who has authority. That's not delivery. I'm sure it was delivery was authority too, but the content was. Content was. And you're going to see that today. Okay, so greatest sermon by the Son of God himself who came into history. It's not a man speaking this. This is God speaking the truth to people. So this is not a ethical message, or this is not something to make your life and marriage a little bit better and how you could live this life a little bit more meaningfully. It's not that kind of message at all. In fact, his message demands your existential response. I've been saying this for the last 4 weeks. Those of you who are joining, that means your whole life response. You can marry someone partially. You can't. You can't. You could, you know, go to church, partially devote yourself. I mean, you know, you shouldn't, but you can't marry someone partially. You can't do that. And this is the fourth and last of the sketches where he's closing the sermon and demanding. God is demanding. There is no place like this demanding your response. And he does this by giving you two options. That one leads to life, one leads to destruction. You must respond. You must respond. That's what Jesus is demanding you. Okay? 4 weeks ago, we talked about enter through a narrow gate. Okay? And if you believe in him, you enter. If not, you don't enter. And I'm going to ask you, You think about the answer. If you have entered already, would you say amen?
Amen.
You heard it. There were people who say amen, and there were people who couldn't say amen. Okay, if this is the door right here, this Joel Osteen area. Okay, so if I enter, I'm in. I'm sorry. This is, we just jokingly say it's a Joel Osteen area. If I enter, I'm in it. You have entered into the sanctuary because you went through that door. You have entered through the narrow gate. That's why you are in Christ. If not, you're not. Okay? 3 weeks ago, we talked about be aware of false prophetess, pseudo-prophetess. It's very English word-like, pseudo, right? False lies. Pseudo-prophets, pseudo-pastors, pseudo-Christians. There are pseudo-pastors and pseudo-Christians. Not my word, but Jesus' word. And he's basically saying, you will know the tree by the fruits. You all have fruits. Okay? In my ministry, I pray to God that in God's side there is a fruit. Not only to God's side, to your side as well. Because when Jesus said, you will know the tree by the fruits, not only at the final judgment, right now you could see the fruits. Fruits. Okay? So be careful, because if you listen to false teachers and go to church where false teachers teaching, then you're going to be listening to the lies every single week, which could be poisonous. Do you understand that? If you hear anti-gospel, it will be poisonous. Literally poisonous. 2 weeks ago, last week, it's about those who say, Lord, Lord, who will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. How many of you say, Lord, Lord? Would you say amen? Jesus saying, not all of you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many of you cannot say that because Jesus is not the Lord of your life. Okay? And pretty stern. If you notice, 4 weeks in a row, as he closes his sermon, he is giving a very unlikely message that you will hear in 21st century. You don't hear this kind of messages. You hear a lot of Jesus loves you no matter what kind of message. But not like this. But can I just tell you something? The person who's speaking this is the manifestation, literal manifestation of agape himself. Okay? Why is he saying this? We talk about this, and I struggle through this. Why is he saying the way he's saying? What? Why is he saying this? Because it is true. If you just keep going, you will be destroyed. Destruction. I go to church. I study attributes of God. I'm in the class. Actually, I volunteered to be a member of this church. Well, I go to Africa in October. No. Not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God. Why is Jesus saying that? Because that's going to be the way it is. It's not just warning you, but that's prophecy. Many will say to me on the last day, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? Did we not do this significant thing? And Jesus will declare who is the judge of the final judgment. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. I don't know you. There's going to be a stern denial. The door will be closed. And for today, the last of the last, the fourth and last sketch of his closure, if you could just hear this, one who hears the word of mine and do them and do not do them. Simple. You hear the word of mine, you just heard Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, 7. Enter through this gate. Blessed are the poor in spirit, but you want to be rich no matter what it takes. Right? Do not commit an adultery. You look at a woman lustfully, you have already committed adultery. Your righteousness must be exceeding of the scribes and Pharisees, or else you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You think I came to abolish the law? No, I came to fulfill the law. Not even the least stroke of a pen will disappear. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my word will never disappear. You heard the sermon, and you brush it off. Then the Bible says, you're a fool. Jesus is saying, you're a fool, and your life will crash at the end. For good. My dental practice, my house I bought in Long Island, my credential of doctoral degree, everything will crash. Can you just picture that for a moment? Can you just picture that for a moment? You work hard for 4 years to graduate from college, and at the end, no, you're rejected. Can you imagine that? Everything just crashed. Okay. John Stott, who's been my teacher, someone I've been reading for the last 7 months on the Sermon on the Mount, he said it would be impossible to exaggerate the importance of the choice between them, because one leads to life and the other leads to destruction. One leads to a building that is standing, or the other is building that will be destroyed. He's saying it is impossible to exaggerate the importance of a choice between the two. Have you made up your choice? Will you marry me? What could be the option? Yes! Yes! Even if I die and reborn, I'll marry you. Or no! But there is a third option. I need more time. I heard this answer in Stony Brook. You know, I asked, you know, I do Bible study with college students at Stony Brook University. And, you know, we were just talking about this. And, like, Jesus is almost like saying, will you marry me? And one person literally said, I need more time. Can you imagine the other party was asking you to marry me? And you're saying, I need more time. But scary thing is, the thing is, there is no that option. There is no option. And yet, in my ministry, people that I've seen, so many people are undecided. Are you undecided? Are you undecided? I see so many people are undecided. It's mediocre, very loud upstairs, but very inactive during the service. You already made up your mind. I'm just kind of like, you know, stirring you. You already made up your mind. I'm just going to sit through this service and listening to this hard message and feeling a little bit better than this morning. You already made up your mind. No, none of those. So again, Jesus, the Son of God, who came to seek and save the lost. That's you. That's me. Save the lost. Who came to seek and save the lost, and Jesus is speaking and testifying the truth. You know, this is such an important statement. Jesus said, the purpose that I came into this world is to testify the truth. In other words, what he has spoken has to be true and reality, based on fact. If not, he is not the truth. And if he's not the truth, then he's a liar. So he's not a very ethical teacher. He's not a good teacher. In fact, if he's lying, you can't trust him. Do you see the logic here? There's a logic to this. Jesus said, I came to testify the truth. In other words, if you don't believe in what he speaks, you're believing in lies. Half of the world, more than half of the world, believe that there is nothing after you die. Right? Half of the world, more than half of the world, believe that there is nothing after you die. We call them atheists. And many people inside the church live as if there is nothing after you die. So they are functional atheists. But Jesus said, no. All men are destined to die, and then there is a judgment. We got to understand that to understand the good news. We got to understand the bad news, terrible news, because we were born in sin, to understand Christ and the cross and gospel and Christianity. Otherwise, nothing makes sense. If you don't believe what he has spoken, you're believing in lies. If I lose 35 pounds, everybody in the world love me and look at me. You know, everyone will love me. If I work out 5 days a week and look like Pastor Paul Park, everyone will respect me. Right? You believe in lies. You believe in lies. We continue to believe in lies. And Jesus is saying, Jesus speaking and testifying the truth, not desiring anyone to perish. He doesn't want you to perish. But if you don't respond, you're going to perish. Would you look at me? I know I'm offending you. If you don't respond to him existentially, you're going to perish, Jesus is saying. I'm a drummer. I'm sorry. You know, I'm a deacon. I'm a missionary. No. Doesn't matter. Not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus does not want you to perish, but reach repentance. How many of you like the word repentance? Would you say amen? Natural men don't. You're not Christian, then you don't like that word. You got to get off the train. I keep telling you. Otherwise, you're going to end up in Montauk rather than Penn Station. But you never get off. You just keep going until you can't hear no more. See? That's what it means to believe, isn't it? We talked about this. Josh, I'm going to use you. Don't get nervous. Josh, if you trust me as your pastor, would you say amen? Come on. Amen. Okay. If he trusts me as his pastor, I am responsible and taking care of his soul. And let's just say, if you trust me, Josh, this building will collapse in about 5 minutes. 5 minutes. If you trust me and believe me, what would you do? You will run out and leave everybody here, right? No. You're going to tell everybody to get up. In other words, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in his word and you obey him. This is what it means to believe. Otherwise, you don't believe. Otherwise, you don't look at me as a pastor. You don't trust me. You don't believe in me. If you believe in person of Jesus, you believe in the truth that he has spoken and you obey him. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Jesus saying at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, whoever hears these words of mine and do them, and he's the one wise who's building his life on the foundation of rock. Every single one of you are building your life right now. Every single one of you. I'm going to ask you to look down at the end of the sermon. Without moving your head, could you look down? See what's underneath of you? Seriously. That's what I want you to look at today. So Jesus is demanding an existential response, real response, your all or nothing response. All or nothing response. It's hard to do church with people without any response. It's hard to lead a soccer team without people who are committed to the soccer team, right? How much more for the gospel? So with that as an introduction, we'll look at the text, and it's very, very simple. And Hebrew way of stressing a point is he speaks one in positive way and he speaks the same message in negative way. He does that. Good trees cannot bear bad fruit. Bad trees cannot bear good fruits. He's saying it negatively. Good trees bear good fruits. Bad trees bears bad fruits. He's saying it in a positive way, but basically he's saying the same thing. You get the point? And that's exactly what he's going to do in four verses. Once he's going to say it in a positive way, and second he's going to say it in a negative way, and you are basically one of the two. You're one of the two. Your life is one of the two. Okay? So everyone then who hears these words of mine and do them or does them will be like a wise man who built his house, his life, on the rock. And the rainfall fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock, saying it positively. Now he's going to say same message negatively, okay? And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew. In other words, doesn't matter what your foundation is, the same rain and flood and wind come, and they are coming in this life and at the end of your life. Okay, that's what Jesus is saying. And rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So he said the same message twice. And the first builder, I hope that's you, is the wise one. Why is he a wise one? Just thinking in building terminology. My house is going through a major renovation right now. We just destroyed the foundation of our garage. And, oh boy, whole house was shaking. They were using big drill. You know, I used to practice dentistry, but this is a big drill. Whole house was shaking. First builder is a wise one because his foundation is the rock, on the rock. Can you look down, see what your foundation is? So they are wise, Jesus is saying, because their foundation is built on the rock. And the building of your house and your life, your entire life, and it's the picture or knowledge of a person who hears Jesus' word and do them. Or if you just brush them off, that's not you. You're the other kind of builder. Do you catch this? If you listen to the word of God, Jesus said, whoever tried to gain his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and the gospel, he will gain it. If you just brush it off, you are not this category. If you trust that, you are this category. First kind of builder. Okay? Whoever hears these words of mine and does them and put them into practice or doers, do them. In other words, you are the doers of God's word. You are obedient to his word. Okay? And there are only two options, viable options and responses you can do. It doesn't matter what your profession is. It doesn't matter whether you went to graduate school or not. It doesn't matter you're married or not. It doesn't matter you're Asian or Afro-American. And whatever you are, it doesn't really matter. Only option, only two viable options. Enter through the narrow gate. You either entered or you have not entered. Does that make sense? This is the closure, okay? You either enter, you are in, and you ignore, you hesitate, you scoff, and you fear, and have never entered. Which one are you? Which one are you? And we already explained that that's what it means to believe or trusting in the person as a savior or pastor or Lord. I say something and you follow through if you trust him. You follow through. You obey. I'm not saying this building will collapse, but Jesus is saying this whole world will stand before God. And you're not going to respond to that? That means you don't believe, right? Notice the absolute nature of the authority of his word, okay? I want you to look at this. Last week, we talked about not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord, but who does the will of the Father, will of the Father God. But this week, he's saying, not everyone who hears the word of mine, but hears the word of mine, but do them. In other words, he is equating the will of God and these words of mine. What is he doing? He's equating the will of God the Father and these words of mine are equivalent, meaning I and the Father are equal. That's the authority, not just the delivery. Not just the delivery. What kind of authority is that? Jesus' divine authority. Last week, depart from me. I have never knew you, you evildoer. What is that? His authority as the judge, final judge of human history. Do you know that? I don't know, in case you didn't know. It's going to be Jesus. Scripture says it's going to be Jesus who will be the judge of the living and the dead. And it's going to be his word. That's going to be the judge and the standard at the final judgment. How many of you knew that? Would you say amen if you did?
Amen.
Rest of you should know that. Or else you're just going to be fooled and deceived or self-deceiving. Continue to self-deceiving. That's what I see people do. They self-deceive. Do you do that? People self-deceive. You know, in my ministry with people, whether it is Korean-speaking people or English-speaking people, whether it is African, it doesn't really matter. College student, they self-deceive. Yeah, but I join AOG. Well, I want to be a member of this church. Don't you see? I'm trying. You self-deceive. But you can't do that. Okay? Everyone who hears these words of mine, in the previous sketch, Jesus said, I never knew you. He was the judge. And who is declaring to pseudo-Christians, don't get upset. There are pseudo-pastors and pseudo-Christians in the Bible. How many? Many. Jesus said many. There are pseudo-missionaries, pseudo-pastors, pseudo-Christians. And he declares at the end, you evildoers, I never knew you. Depart from me. So he is equating doing the will of the Father and listening and obeying the word of his as equivalent, placing himself on the equal plane with God. That's an authority. I could never do that. If there's any authority that I have, it's the delegated authority. It's the script authority of the scripture. It's not my authority. Okay? So Jesus, by doing so, he's declaring, doing the will of my Father, and doing or obeying the word of mine are equivalent, and that's what it means, and that's the authority of Jesus. Okay. Last week it was about professing, and this week it's about hearing. A lot of people take real pride of which church I go to. I go to Bible preaching church. I listen to John MacArthur. People used to say that. Paul Washer. I listened to Paul Washer. So I must be a good Christian. No, you're not. No, you're not. People who listened to Jesus weren't Christians. People who used to listen to Jesus weren't Christians. It's not about what you hear. It's not about how much you hear. It's not about what kind of biblical message you hear. Is your heart and your life responding? That's what it matters. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Really, it does not matter how much you hear and know in your mind and in your experience, but it's Jesus' stern warning. Why? Because he wants you to be wise for salvation in faith in Jesus Christ. Would you look at me, people? Are you justifying and self-deceiving? So many people try to do. Why would you? Right? Jesus is saying everyone who hears and does them, meaning obedience, obeying them, and which means what you believe. Let me ask you then, here's a question. How can you possibly do it and obey? There is an answer. Do you know? How do you obey the word of God? When can you possibly obey the word of God? This is Christianity. If you love him, you will obey him. Would you say amen?
Amen.
You know why you don't obey him? Because you don't want to and you can't obey him. That's what the scripture says. Until you become a Christian born again, born of God, you do not want to and you do not have the ability. Because you are slave to sin, and because you are chained by the power of sin. You can't. Yes, I wish I'm kind of there. You think about the here and there. Yes, I wish I could get off the train so I could go back west instead of east. But you don't, because you don't want to. The fact of the matter is you love your life of sin. You love the life of your autonomy, your kingship. You love nobody. You love the life that nobody tells you what to do. You are the king of your life. Okay? So that is the dynamic of Christianity. If you love him, and you will obey him. And this is well summarized in 1 John. If you listen to this carefully, okay, I'm going to read 5 verses. Don't fall asleep. Look at me, people. You should look at me. Okay? 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes, Christian, truly believes that Jesus is the Christ, has been born of God. There's no other option. Are you born of God? Which means born supernaturally of God. In other words, you have the new heart, new nature, new affection, new desire. You have the Spirit of God within you. That's what it means. Okay. If not, you need to become a Christian. You need to become a Christian. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Whoa, what is that? What is he saying? If you're born of God, truly born of God, if you love God, you're going to love the church. You know, I declare this every single day. You care less about church or which church you go to. It doesn't matter which church I go to. You don't really care about anything else. There is no evidence that you are born of God. That's one of the questions that we ask in membership. Do you want to be committed and love the church? If not, there's not enough evidence that you are born of God. That's verse 1. And by this we know. Okay, listen to this if you are questioning. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his words. So obedience and love, they go together. If you know the Lord, you will love him. If you love him, you want to live for him. That's Christian dynamic. And I hear amen already. Could you say amen if you agree? That's Christianity, people. If you didn't know that, you have been fooled with all these cultural Christianity, not biblical Christianity. Verse 3, for this is the love of God. This is the love of God. See if there is love of God in you. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment. In other words, you listen to what Jesus say. You want to live for him. Okay? And his commandments are not burdensome. I love that. As you obey, it's not burden. Oh, man, I got to go to the prayer meeting. You don't do that. You want to be there. It's not only burdensome, it's a joy of your life. Verse 4, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Do you feel like you're dragging your feet all the time? Struggle to be in the service? You don't live like that if you're born of God. You don't. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. And that is what it means to have a faith. That is our faith. Otherwise, you don't have faith in the person of God, existence of God. Last verse, who is it that overcome the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? In other words, he's rhetorically asking, unless you're born of God, you cannot be victorious in this life. Really sums up well. This is biblical Christianity, people. Can you look up here? This is biblical Christianity. You should believe in biblical Christianity. Word of God, if you're not in Christ, will offend you. Will offend you. It seems like I'm offending you, but I'm not offending you. I'm just delivering. But word of God will offend you. You know why? Because you are rebelling against God. Okay? And then he talks about the storms of life, trials of your life. Many of you are I've been doing New Heart Ministry for 16 years now, And many of you who are in 20s are now in well into 30s. Those of you who are in 20s, now in well into 30s, would you say amen? The sad amen. You know, I'll tell you something. You're going to have storms in your life. Look at me, people. I'm in my 60s. I may not look it, but I am. There's going to be storms in your life. There's going to be trials in your life. The rain will come. Rain comes in what direction? This way? No, rain comes from, right? And then there's going to be torrential rise. Which direction? And there's going to be wind blowing. Wind blows this way, right? So every direction you're going to have trials and storms in life. When rain fell, wind blows, and torrential rise. This week I heard about this major rain in Queens. Was it really bad? Yeah. Yeah, I missed it. I missed it. But a while ago, I live in Long Island, and there is a IU Willett Street. When I try to pull out from my house, and I was stopped at a stop sign, and try to make a right turn, and rain began to pour. I mean, like pour. I couldn't move my car, so I was just wondering what to do. And in the matter of 2 minutes, there was a car just coming slowly this way. In matter of 1 or 2 minutes, I'm not exaggerating. The water level began to rise up to the half of the car in a matter of 2 minutes. I seen it with my eyes. I was like so scared. If it continues for another few minutes, we're all going to drown. Matter of 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But rain is coming, Jesus is saying. And I was thinking, in the day of Noah, 40 days of day and night of rain and torrent rising. Can you imagine? There is no single breath of life survived unless you get into the ark. Unless you get into the ark of Christ. Rain fell, flood came, and wind blew, and beat against that house, beat against your life. It's going to beat against your life. And only the true ones will stand. You know, in my ministry, and I read it in 2 Corinthians, it doesn't matter how many people are gathered here, okay? It's going to be tested by fire at the end. And only what lasts after the testing of fire will be counted. How many of you understand that? Would you say amen?
Amen.
It doesn't matter how many people. Joel Osteen has 60,000 people listening. I don't know how many of them will stand. Okay. In the closure of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus mentioned destruction. Trees will be cut off and burned. Depart from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. Meaning you'll be separated forever. And now today, your life will fall. And great is your crash. Why is Jesus saying this? Number one, because he is the ruler and sovereign over the future and at the end. Number two, because he doesn't want you to be destroyed at the end. He's calling you, parakaleoing you. Come to me. Get into my ark. Get into my ark. Don't be foolish and stubborn. Don't be stubborn and proud. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that one stubborn person's heart will be melted today. One stubborn person's heart will be melted today and come to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. If you notice, the rain and the flood and wind comes to both people who have built their house on the foundation of rock or the sand. It doesn't really matter whether you're standing under Christ or not. Okay, it's going to happen in your life, but in Matthew's gospel, the theme of the gospel is the kingdom of God, so it is pointing toward the final eschatological, final judgment, which you will stand. It doesn't matter what your profession is. It doesn't matter what your Christianity history is. I'm a pastor's son. I'm a missionary son. I'm an elder's son. Ooh. Grace, what are you doing? Yeah, it's okay. Leave it off. Yeah, it's okay. 1 Peter 1:22. Please listen. 1 Peter 1:22. If your mind is open, it doesn't matter where you read in the Bible, you're going to see the gospel. You're going to see the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your soul by obedience. Who obey God? Ones who are born of God. Having purified your soul by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Do you love the church? It's a sign of your life in you. Okay? Next verse. Since you have been born again. See, you know, that's exactly what that description is. Purify your soul by the obedience. Since you have been born again, not of the perishable seed, but of the imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. Bible talks about perishable and imperishable, meaning something that will be temporal and something that will be eternal. Half of the world say, after you die, there's nothing. There's no imperishable. That's a lie. That has to be a lie. That's not a cultural lie. That's a lie. From the father of lies. Otherwise, Jesus is a liar. Otherwise, the whole scripture is a lie. Whole Christianity is a lie. It's one or the other, right? Since you have been born again, not of the perishable, but of the imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God or Word of Jesus. You ignore it, you're not alive. You're not born of God. For all flesh, I love this phrase, all flesh is like grass, and it's all your glory will be like the flowers of the grass. You hear this a lot in funerals, but I think we need to hear this more. Everything you think will not last forever. People say we're living up to 100 years old. No, you're not going to live up to 100 years. I don't know what doctors think, but I don't think so. I don't think so. Last week I told you, someone was they were debating in front of me. No, we're going to live up to 200 years. We're going to get younger. Pastor, you're going to get younger as the years go by. They were just spilling out foolishness. Bible says all flesh is like grass. And the glory of your life is like flowers. Grass withers and flowers fall. Your doctoral degree, what is that? What is that? Seriously. Your savings, your 401k, what is that? Lord could take your life any moment. That's what the scripture says. Any moment. And then he says, all flesh is like grass, and its glory is like the flower of the grass. Grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. I love that part. Would you say amen?
Amen.
The gospel is being preached to you and you are not responding. Look at you. Look at you, people. Look at you. You're not responding. You're hardening your heart. You're reacting with foolishness, hardening your heart. And Jesus is calling you, parakaleoing you. Isn't that what he's doing? That's what Jesus is doing. And you're not responding. People of God, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Let me close with just a couple of thoughts. Two words I want to stress. One is wise men, look at this, and one is foolish men, you are one of them. One is wise men, and you are foolish men, all of you are one of them. I'm looking at Ezra too. Yeah, you're one of them. Wise men, wise life. Or foolish man, foolish life. You live one of them. Okay? Scripture and Jesus repeatedly speaks about two options. Two gates, two paths, two masters, two life of seeking. Seeking, build, try to build your life on the earth or treasures in heaven. One or the other. Two visions, two kingdom citizens. You do it, you don't do it. Two options. And this was spoken and written and preached to you, which was the grace of God. How many of you think it is the grace of God? Would you say amen? If not, you know what's going to happen? You would have no idea where you're heading toward to, and one day you are there. You don't know what's coming, and one day you see everything just crashes in front of you. But now we are warned. We are even calling. He's calling us to come to Him, which is the grace and which is the amazing calling of God for you to repent. Have you repented? Have you repented? Don't give me blank looks. Would you say amen if you have repented? For those of you who have not, you need to repent. If you don't get off the train that is heading toward Montauk, you will be destroyed. That's what Jesus is saying. How many of you think Pastor Paul is exaggerating what Jesus is saying? Is that what I'm doing? I could never do that, people. I could never do that. I'm not exaggerating anything. I am trying to explain what he said and the way he said. That's what expositional preaching is. Okay? So he's calling you to repent and come to life and make you wise for salvation and get off the train and enter through the narrow gate. Have you entered through the narrow gate? I'm going to ask one more time. Have you entered through the narrow gate? Youth group, have you entered through the narrow gate? Elders, have you entered through the narrow gate? Visitors, have you entered through the narrow gate? Secondly, all of you are building your life right now. All of you. You're builders. Now I'm going to ask you to look down. Could you look down? See what's underneath of you? Would you do that? I see Alice really looking down. There's a carpet. Would you look down? Look at your life. See what's underneath of you? I'm serious, people. Would you look down and see what's underneath of you? Please look down right now and check what you're standing upon. What you're standing upon. Perhaps you will fall forever. Perhaps you will fall forever. Okay? Last question. What is the rock? I'm standing on the rock, building your life on the rock. What is the rock? Who is the rock? I want to just answer with this. I love this hymn. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. And all other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, fully, all of me lean on in Jesus' name. Jesus is the rock. He's the only door you could enter through life. If you have not, you have not. He's calling you. He's beckoning you. Okay? If you just continue to harden your hand and resist, Bible calls you a fool. You're a fool. He's calling you to come and repent, and enter through Jesus, and build your life on the solid foundation of rock. Who's that? What kind of people? What kind of people is that? Whoever hears these words of mine and do them. He's the wise person who's building his life on the foundation of rock. Or else you're building on sand. You're standing on sand. Any moment you will sink. When rain comes, wind blows, and torrents rise, you will be able to stand because your foundation is rock. And I hope that's your story. Let's pray.